Well, good morning again. In God's providence, Lee Dodd did not know the text for today, nor did Zeke know in his exhortation how fitting that would be. Turn with me to Romans 12. And then Lee said, beginning in verse 6, I trust this is what God has. Our verse will be verse 11, but I want to begin in verse 6. It's encouraging to see God, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, to weave these things together in His flock. He shepherds His flock. The inspiration of this sermon, I have to say this. Hello, Jonathan and Elena, because they have their little boy, Apollos, at home. But the inspiration for this sermon comes from the life of Apollos. I was reading in the book of Acts 10 days ago. Krista and I were in Austin. I was up early. I was reading. I was in Acts 18, and the last six verses are about Apollos. And the elders are going, oh yeah, we remember. Philip started firing off text messages to us about the man Apollos. It says that Apollos was fervent in spirit. How was that seen? In his study, meaning how he love God's word, in teaching and boldly serving and proclaiming the majesty of Jesus Christ. He was fervent in spirit. How about you? Are you fervent in spirit? Romans 12, I will reread what Lee read, but then I'll go through verse 11, and then I will pray. May God bless His word. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Keep going. Verse 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love with one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. And then here's our verse for today. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Amen. Let me pray. Father, again, we ask you to bless the Word of God to everyone in this room, everyone that's listening, even that's not here. Minister your truth. Speak. Capture the mind and heart. Teach us what this means, Lord. Instruct us. We want to walk with you. We want to learn what it means to be fervent in the right way. To the glory of Jesus, we ask. Amen. When you hear the words fervent or zeal, what do you think? Does it make you a little bit nervous? These two words typically affect Christians in one of two extremes. It's generally not a middle camp. And one side is somebody gets excited. Yes, yes, I want to hear more about this. But there are others that are true Christians that it might make them nervous, might make them a little uncomfortable. And so today my intent is not to try to be on either side. My intent is to be faithful to the Scriptures. But I want to say from the outset, I'm not talking about stirred up emotions or trying to get somebody fleshly excited because somebody wins an Olympic medal or something else. I'm not talking about some sort of a false thing that's cultural or social. That's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about the biblical use of the words fervent and zeal or zealous. Have you looked at these and thought about these in a while? They're so magnificent. And particularly the word fervent or zealous in light of following and serving Jesus Christ, the glorious Son of God. See the connection? And it not being just a flash in the pan type thing, but this constant increasing of following and serving the Lord Jesus Christ with zeal, like Apollos. Acts chapter 18, read it later today. magnificent, stirring. Brothers and sisters, it is wrong for you to think, my personality is different. I'll let others serve who are more naturally zealous. That might be a tendency for several of you in the room. You know, so-and-so is wired that way. I'm not trying to talk about personality traits. Stay with me. Don't just default that's not your personality. That's not the category that I'm trying to define this within. This is God's Word speaking, not just here in Romans 12, but in other places, about being fervent, zealous, which means that every Christian, no matter what your personality traits are, every Christian has the opportunity for more of this within who you are, to be more fervent and zealous in the right way, in the biblical way, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, not trying to change you. So stay with me today. Personality trait is not where we're camped out on. Serving Jesus Christ and His church fervently applies to every Christian in the earth. No excuses. I remember through the years I would hear different men and I would think, whoa, and I would feel it in them. I can literally say when I was younger, maybe a young teenager, I would capture or come across excerpts of Billy Graham on the radio, and I think, man, there was such a fervency about him. And in the 90s, somebody gave me a cassette tape, and it was about a sermon by a guy named Paul Washer, and I listened to that driving to Longview, Texas. And I thought, whoa, this guy's fervent. And others I would hear through the years. I even remember W.A. Criswell in Dallas from the 60s and the 70s, and I would hear him sometimes on the radio, and I liked to hear W.A. Criswell because I felt like he had a fervency. He had a love for the glory of God, and it impacted me even as a teenager. So serving Jesus Christ and His church fervently applies to every Christian, every assembly of anyone in the faith. So here in Romans 12 is the proof of that. Paul is speaking in these wonderful exhortations, these admonitions, boom, boom, boom. He's speaking to every Christian. He's not just isolating. Hey, the type A personalities, for those of you who are type A, come over here today. We're going to talk about fervency. No, that's not what Paul's doing. There are people who are gentle, if you want to put it that way, or there's a certain calmness about them, and yet they have zeal and fervency. Hopefully more of that will be apparent as we go on. So every Christian in every generation is being exhorted from God's Word to have a fervency that's right. Hear this with fresh faith and receptivity. Be ready to hear this, brothers and sisters. We need more of it. So may the Holy Spirit stir you today and give you a proper perspective of fervency in serving the King of Kings. If there's anything in the earth to be fervent and zealous about, it's the glory of Jesus Christ. Tell that at the closing ceremonies of the Olympic Games. Speak that on the rooftops. If there's anything to be fervent and zealous about, it's the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. You get it? We could close right there and go to prayer. We have to say it sometimes to ourselves because this world is putting forth all kinds of vain ideas. Nonstop. Sorry, it's not in my notes, but it's in my heart. Fervency and zeal. It's amazing when people get offended that a Christian is excited, passionate, all in for the glory of Jesus Christ. Driving to Longview, Texas with a guy that's just a few months apart in age, me, Paul Washer, on a cassette, I thought, I got to meet this guy one day. There's a certain stirring that happens. So by God's help and by His glorious leading, I want to briefly look at three truths in verse 11. Saints, this is within the tapestry of exhortations just before this about love and gifts within the body. And then I would like to close with some applications for all of us. How do we put it into our lives? First, verse 11, what does Paul say? He says here in the ESV, do not be slothful in zeal. What a play on words there. The King James uses that word, what, in business? Meaning in activity. Don't be slothful. When you see the word slothful, it ought to make you go, whoa, That's saying something to us. Because when you hear slothful, you think of somebody who's lazy, casual. They're not doing what they need to be doing. I enjoyed looking at various translations through these last several days on different phrases, different ways. Yes, looking at it in the original language, in the Greek. But look how it's translated by other writers or other ways that people would want to communicate it. Here's one. Not lagging behind in diligence. That's in the NASB. Not lagging behind. Just hanging back. Not in. In diligence, as compared to the word zeal. Here's another one. Do not hold back in what you do. You get the essence of this? Holding back. The worst injury that I ever had in basketball, my right ankle was my last two games right before I'm finishing basketball at Denton High School. And we're in a practice and we're playing with each other and our teams. And one of the guys on our team was just shagging around lazy. And because of it, he got in the way and I came into him and came down on him and tore my ankle up. So much for my final two games. Slothful, lazy. He wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. That's a picture. You know the feeling. You may have felt that this morning or yesterday. So this warning or this admonition of Paul, keep in mind, he's just come through these things. Hold to that fast, what is good. Love one another. Be brotherly, show brotherly affection. He'd just been talking about gifts and what you're to be. And he's saying, don't lag behind. Don't hold back. Don't be slothful. Give what you have to give. Play, run, be about what the King of Glory has put in you, what he's doing you, what the Holy Spirit is using you for. Everybody needs what you have. Think of that. Every member, Romans 12, speaks of this. So the life of the church body is the context. Don't be slothful in zeal. Don't hold back or lag behind. Nothing about the Christian life is to be slothful. You guys believe that? Nothing about the Christian life. What could be lazy about following Jesus Christ, the King of Glory? You're hearing this. This ought to be affecting you. It affects me these last 8 or 9 days, thinking and meditating on this passage. The Lord Jesus Christ was zealous. John the Baptist was zealous. Phineas in the Old Testament was zealous. Apollos was zealous, fervent, these men. But it marks God's people in the earth today. Should. Marking them, not holding back. Again, I'm not trying to stir up the wrong excitement and enthusiasm. I'm trying to get to the heart. Being zealous and fervent comes from the heart. It's what you have in you that you're about. William Hendrickson said it this way, Christian living without zeal hardly deserves the name. Wow. So true, isn't it? Christian living without zeal, it's not even a true reflection of the glory of following Jesus Christ. It's an inconsistency. It's a massive inconsistency. And Hendrickson was right the way he said it. Or another way of putting it is, in Phillips' little language, ho-hum Christianity is a fake. Ho-hum Christianity. Saints, we can't be ho-hum about these things. We're in a world that's evil, and we have a glorious gospel, and we're headed to an eternal kingdom that Lee preached on last Sunday, and we need to live, as he said towards the end of his sermon, with zeal. Yes, I nearly stood up and yelled when he said that last week, because we're headed to the King of Kings in his eternal kingdom. But along the way, we have to be running. Bunyan's book on Pilgrim's Progress is not casual. When it gets casual, he gets in trouble. Ho-hum Christianity. There is no such thing. Can't be. Because if one doesn't follow Jesus Christ zealously, then they're not going to be fruitful. They're not going to honor him. So our labors or our following Jesus Christ should be full of fervency or zeal, and our labors on behalf of his church and his people and his kingdom have to have a fervency or a realness to them. A sincerity, an all-in heart. Oh, saints, churches just don't survive because they're nice business machines. This is not a business organization. This is a living people that have been set apart by the power of God to walk with him, and they have God with them, which means God's in you, the hope of glory, which means you and I have to give ourselves. I think that's why through the years I love team sports, because it took everybody working together. I learned a lot through team sports, and I'm grateful how God's taught me through that. This is what God's Word is telling us. We can't be lagging behind, not slothful, but to be ready. Man, woman, young, old, a Christian for a year or 42 years, it doesn't matter where you are, it applies to all of us. You sisters, you brothers, you teenagers that are Christians, you need to be fervent. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to teach you more what that means. Because being slothful or lazy or passive dishonors Christ in His glorious kingdom. Personally, I kind of like it when I still to this day meet men, maybe contemporaries, that all of a sudden they realize Philip is really, really intense about Jesus Christ. Personally, I want them to think that. Not in some sort of bizarre, in-their-face way, but that they would think he, as in Christ, must be precious. And he is. We've got enough people in the world and so-called Christian stuff corrupting what Jesus Christ really is. We need to be true to it, and we need to be bold in the right way. We need to declare these things. I like this one. Charles Spurgeon said, the happiest members of any church are the most diligent. That made me think for a while. Now, wait a minute. They may be tired. They may need renewal. They need to be strengthened by one another's. But the happiest members, you think Spurgeon was tired? The happiest members of any church are the most diligent. First, be not slothful in zeal. Let me keep moving. You get that one. Second, look at the contrast. But fervent in spirit. Four words. But fervent in spirit. What do you think of when you hear that? You know, actually in the New Testament, in the whole of Scripture, the word fervent in zeal is not used as many times as you would think it would. There would be similar terms, other words that would get to some of this. But if you look at an exhaustive word search, it's not going to take you real long. Because we have in the Old Testament God's zeal for His glory and His honor. But in terms of how this comes into God's people, Old or New Testament, there's these moments where it's stated that you ought to go, wow. But we don't just leave it for Phineas and Apollos and those men. It's man and woman, those that are in Jesus Christ. Paul is saying this. He would want Timothy and Titus and Phoebe or anybody else that's in the faith to be about this. Zealous or fervent here in spirit. Here are some of the other translations. Aglow and burning with the Spirit. Aglow. There's something about that person. You hang out with Paul Washer, you're going to be a lot going on. Because that's who he is. It's how he lives. Yes, it's part of his personality trait. But I don't know other men wired completely different than Paul Washer that are aglow. They are intense in the sense of being fervent or zealous about Jesus Christ and His kingdom and His people in giving themselves. Aglow and burning with the Spirit. Here's another one. Keep your spiritual fervor. That's the NIV. Keep it, let by the grace of the Holy Spirit, keep it going. And here's another one. This is very paraphrased, but it gets to the heart of it. Let your spirit be on fire. You got that, Will? Is it scaring you at all? Let your spirit be on fire, bubbling up and boiling over. How about that, Hannah? Bubbling up and boiling over. Isn't that direct? Isn't that something? Saints, the world is, quote, bubbling up and boiling over all kinds of vanity, ridiculous things. And then the Christian shows up and they have the most glorious thing to be boiling over with. And the world goes, come on. Who's got the real thing? The Christian. The Christian. We have the pearl of the greatest price, meaning He's come to us. He's brought us to Himself. And so we have the greatest thing in all humanity there is to have. If there's anything to be excited about, fervent, zealous in the right way. Yes, let your spirit be on fire. It is strong language. It gets our attention. It should get our attention. It should. You won't need to leave this room and try to find out a new way to exercise a personality trait. You need to leave asking more of the Holy Spirit to make you fervent and zealous for His kingdom. Paul is telling all Christians, He's telling us here in Denton today that we are to be fervent in spirit. I want us to consider the two words for just a brief moment. They're almost the same word. Essentially, they are, if you do the word search on both of these, in terms of the New Testament, in this Greek expression. Fervent means to be hot. To be hot. Or, as we just read in that paraphrase, to boil or even to glow. So it would be like an ember. Your children know what a fire ember is, right? You have the wood that burns, but what's down in the fire? It's a chunk of it that's really hot, and it just keeps glowing. And that small wood burns up, and then in the middle of that fire are these big chunks of wood that they are, you know, orange and reddish or even purplish, and they are just hot, and they don't go out in 10 minutes. They're just, woo, they're just glowing. That's really what the word's getting at, that we would glow. And you actually look at a slight spin-off from the word, it means that it doesn't diminish without ceasing. It's something else, isn't it? So if somebody that I grew up in this town with 40 years ago, 40 years plus, sees me now, and they knew I was a Christian then, they would say, that guy should still be burning. He's burning. He's glowing. You get the point? It doesn't diminish this thing of zeal and the grace of the Holy Spirit and knowing Him and learning more of Him like Apollos. Apollos was already mighty at the beginning there when he came to Ephesus, Acts 18. And then a few verses later, he's even more on fire because he had been instructed more in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you see this, saints, this fervency keeps going. It should be growing. It doesn't need to just be a flash. Here's a flash. You're going to laugh, but it's worth mentioning. My wife will know the story. We live out on the land. And most of y'all know that. And we have animals, and we have two livestock dogs, and they're a year old, and they got a lot of life in them, and they like to get out. They do. So I thought, all right, this is another one of those days. Early in the morning, I'm in my grubby clothes. Looked like anything but a guy that's going to be preaching a few hours later. And the plan is, Philip will let them out where they're in their area, and then it's a race to watch them to where they'll take me to their spot where they get out. Now, Jacob, they're going to run. Those dogs are going to run. An old guy like me in a pair of mud boots, and those dogs took off. So I had zeal, or I had energy for a very brief window. You would all just die laughing if you saw the video. Here they go, and here's Philip running across our pasture, down the creek, up the creek. And I'm trying to keep up with them because I got to see where they're getting out. But it was very short, and it was not easy to try to do it. And God kept me from just wiping out and hurting myself or breaking something. If you want to hear the rest of the story during lunch, come find me. I'll tell you the rest of the story. But it was short. That level of energy in there. You see people that get caught up in kind of this thing of, I'm going to try Jesus Christ. I'm just going to try Him. And they get excited for a month or 6 months or whatever. And they've tried Him. And 2 years later, they said, I've tried Him. I'm going on to something else. The proper answer is you didn't meet Jesus Christ, if that's their answer. He doesn't just bring people in and some of them get it and keep going. He gives us this Spirit. And His Spirit makes this thing glow and grows us. Yes, He does. This ought to make us happy. Maybe a little uncomfortable, but it's good for us. Zeal and fervency in the right way. Not these little spurts. All these trinkety things and fads and lingo and Dove Awards. And people go there and dance and wiggle and produce different kinds of music. Read into that whatever you want to. I'm talking about people who have staying power, who know the living God, who love His Word, and they walk with Him. I'm not wanting flash-in-the-pan type stuff. I want people who are real. Man, you read men from 200 years ago or 800 years ago or whatever, and you go, those guys walked with the living God. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. He's the only thing to be truly zealous about, and not just for a week or a month. This church, by His grace, it's going to go on long after I'm gone or Mac's gone or whoever. It's His. It's never been any man's church. It's the church of Jesus Christ, and He triumphs in it and for it. And His people are serious. They're not just throwing on mud boots running across the pasture for 5 minutes. It's way bigger than that. But you get the point. It ought to stir us. Zeal. I get stuck on one word, don't I? Zeal. Zeal means heat in a favorable way. Because people get zealous. Men can get zealous in an angry way. Ooh, he had a lot of zeal in him. He was angry. No, this is zeal in the most pure way. Zeal for what is holy and right. Jesus Christ, the zeal of God's house. Stirred him, right? Zeal. A perfect zeal and fervency by the second person in the Trinity, Jesus Christ. So it's these truths, saints, that we're learning from. Heartfelt fervency keeps a Christian from slothfulness. We do get down. We hit stages that were, Jason said, just the moment you were talking about. We hit stages where we're drier. We're lethargic. We're not up and going. Every Christian that's honest, Paul Washer could tell us plenty of stories on this. But the essence of where they're going is they're going forward in Him by the grace of the Holy Spirit. They realize they have to keep going, and they put themselves in and around the things that help stir them onward. And they learn more and more what it means to be glowing or burning without ceasing, not holding back. And the greatest way to limit slothfulness is to be more and more from the heart, conscious, aware that you need more fervency. And the work of the Holy Spirit does this. He kindles it. In some weeks and some days, He comes in ways you didn't even see it coming. And before you know it, you're full of fresh joy, and the Scriptures are just speaking to you, and the songs of God are coming to your heart, and you're having communion with Him in a fresh way, and it's burning the fuel or the flame inside you. Hallelujah. As a teenager, I would hear that. And I thought, I need more of that. And there I could start naming men's names. You would know many of them. Some of them are already in glory. But those are the kind of men that impacted me and still impact me. For me to hear the name Don Johnson from Batesville, Arkansas, affects me for good. Because that brother has zeal in him. So the work of the Holy Spirit, but you can't be passive. We can't be passive. I'll just sit back and wait. You have to give yourself to these things. As one man said, if you're going to maintain a holy fire in your soul, then you have to go after certain things. Yes, we do. Think of the New Testament. Verses that, as I said, there's not an abundant use of the word, but think of some of the other phrases where we'll hear the word fervent or zealous. We are to have what kind of love for one another? Yeah. It's, you know, kind of. I kind of like Bruce Goodwin. He's all right. I'm to love him fervently. That's what the Scripture says. That's to every Christian. We're to be fervent in prayer. You and I are men just like Elijah, right? He prayed fervently, and God answered. And then James says, for the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, what? It avails much. We can pray with fervency. We need more of that in our prayer meetings. Again, not trying to work things up, but reality of the Holy Spirit teaching us more of this. And the flame is being fueled. And here's another one. We are to be zealous for good works. I thought of David Holzlander the other day when I saw it, just in the deacons and the different care and the different things they're doing all the time. Zealous for working for the things of God. Yes, saints, the second, you are to be fervent in spirit. You are to be fervent. God will do more of that for us. Third, where does it all lead to? Serving the Lord. Not about building empires, building a ministry, a not-for-profit group, having buildings, private jets, big money, big TV program. Yeah, is that what the intent is? Serving the Lord? Think of that. You talk about putting our feet back on the ground. Don't be slothful. Be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And serving means some of the most basic, down-to-earth, day-to-day, life-to-life type ways to love Him and to love His people. Serving the Lord. This will help correct wrong theology right here. Because men go to seed with this kind of stuff. And they have for centuries. Not just back in the 20th century where all kinds of the TV evangelism and all kinds of weird stuff started. They've been corrupting this for years, decades, centuries. But it's the fervency, this thing of zeal, is to be in serving or devotion to Jesus Christ. Wow. That puts it in its proper place, doesn't it? That puts us in the proper way of viewing it. So when I thought about, you know, here we have the family, you know, here today, you know, serving us with tables, those who've prepared things, and the things that are happening, which just doesn't get much visibility. But in the grace of the Holy Spirit, we do those things, can do them with zeal or fervency to the Lord. We're constant, everything we do is unto Him. Think about that. When men are preparing, Mac was preparing for this morning. They're preparing alone with God. They're serving Him, knowing and serving Him. They're going to come and speak things to His people. But ultimately, what I do today, here in this moment, is I do it unto Him, serving the Lord. You mothers, you fathers, raising children, correcting children, nurturing children, you do it with passion, with intensity. You're all in because you do it unto the Lord. You follow me. Saints, when you have a fervent spirit, it's not a religious excitement that comes. What comes is a prevailing or enduring devotion to the Lord Jesus. That's what happens. The right kind of fervency. What's the test? It's seen in where you're spending your life. What are you doing? When I meet the solo Christians out there that feel like they have God over in the corner by themselves, I try to gently correct them. That's not the pattern in Scripture. The pattern in Scripture is the zeal for God and His kingdom is spent with each other. Why do you think He established His church? Where is the Lord Jesus Christ the most, if you want to put it that? In His church. Surely we don't have to debate that. That's the truth. Look at the book of Acts and on. So where do you serve the Lord? With His kingdom and His people. That's the devotion that you should have. It will glow. People will see it with you. It's awesome when different ones come in and you're newer and you start getting settled in and then you start running. Is that the phrase, brother, I used last week with you guys? Just to run and how God makes you. I'm talking to Brother Garrett and Kayla there. Just you want everybody by His hand and His Spirit upon them just to run in who they are. That's what Paul's getting at, it seems like, here in Romans 12. It's right there. So if we're serving the Lord, then He's our focus. He gets all the glory. We decrease and He increases. That's what our heart's desire is. We fade, He shines on. We go to glory, His kingdom marches on. But the fervency is leading to serving Him with the whole heart. Can't miss that. Spurgeon says this, "The holy fire within our souls is constantly to burn to the glory of God." That He and His name and His preeminence and His kingdom will be sounded forth, will be seen in how your life is being spent. The Jim Elliots and his friends in their life being set apart to live and die for Jesus Christ. You see, that's a zeal for the right thing. I'm going to serve the Lord. And that's what we want to be about. This fervency will impact every relationship you have with His people. It really does. Every relationship. Because it should. It should. The body was, sometimes it's the small conversations after church, out there on the plaza or whatever. There's these things that all of a sudden I hear a brother or a sister or they say to me something. I hang on to that for 3 days. I think, wow, that was so good. Because out of their own life and out of their own pilgrimage or struggles in the grace of God, giving them a more fervent spirit, you hear things that stir you and help you. That brings us to the application. I said I'd try to be brief. I'm going to, four things I want to apply to us. I think I've already been doing this as I've gone along, but I think it'd be helpful for me just to now zero in. How does this fervent in spirit serving the Lord, how does it affect you day to day? Number one, a fervent spirit for the Lord Jesus has a visible testimony. Private, non-talked about, hidden Christianity doesn't exist in the 66 books of the Bible. That's private. Really? What's your proof text for Jesus Christ being private to you only? It has to have a visible testimony. If you want to put it this way, you can't get Christians to be quiet about the magnificence of their Savior. He's the Savior. We sing to Him. They've started through the centuries all kinds of ministries. It's staggering the amount of things that have helped humanity through the centuries because of the commitment, the fervency, the desire to serve Christ, the testimony. So, yes, it's inward. This thing of fervency and being visible, it impacts others in the church. A brother or a sister who's in their element, meaning the Holy Spirit has them and they're laboring and they're zealous for the right things and they're laboring in their work and in their gifting. It affects the church. In a sense, it stirs others. It strengthens others. It helps them onward. Sometimes it is in the recovery of a brother who's come out of something. Some of the things Mac was speaking today, that in that there's a testimony to the church that I'm going on with God, and others need to hear it. They need to see it. It builds up His people. The prayer meeting should do that. Our gatherings, our lunch today should do that. Being together is helpful beyond what we could even put in words. It's a visible testimony. That's inward. That's the primary. That's the emphasis here. But a fervent spirit for the Lord Jesus has testimony to the world around us, out there in that parking lot. How many of you had to see the guy when you parked today? Several of you? What's he thinking? Oh boy, they're just going to go through the motions today. Hardly. It impacts those outside the church, our fellow man, friends that you work with, people that you're around during the week. Lost men see a life devoted to Jesus, the King of Kings, and it should make them either outwardly or inwardly pause or really take inventory. Yes, they should. They should. They should be impacted. That woman walks with God. She loves Him. She speaks about Christ. She speaks about His Word, what He's doing in her life, or that man, or that college student. It impacts. Fervency has testimony and impact. Don't ever forget this. They need to see people who are set apart on fire in the right way. He is glorious. He's worthy of all. There's nothing to hold back. Nothing to hold back on. Again, not trying to make you somebody that you're not, but causing you to be visible in the right way. Second, a fervent spirit for the Lord Jesus Christ has joy in joy and life, not legalism. There's another segment of Christendom that is absolutely bound up in legalism. Do's, don'ts, can't do this. What about? I appreciate people of conviction. I've had my own convictions through the decades. I've done a lot of things now. I go, I'm not sure I should have been that zealous about that. We don't have time for that right now. But my point is, a fervent spirit, the right way the Holy Spirit works, He gives us joy and life, and we don't walk in legalism. It's not rules and regulation. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Spirit, not rules and regulations. The world has all kinds of disciplines or rules and regulations. As I said, I like convictions. I like you to have your conscience exercised in the truth. I'm not excusing sin and looseness and liberty and carelessness. Don't hear me wrong. I'm just saying that a fervent spirit for Jesus Christ has joy and life and fruit to it, not something that you're bound by. I got to do more of this. There are people who read their Bible weekly out of legalistic ritual, and there's no life in it to them. You know what I'm saying. If you've been a Christian very long, it's sad. And I'm not saying all of them are unconverted, but many, if not most, if that's how they view the gospel, that it's a legalistic requirement, they've missed it. Grace comes by the love of God, and he's liberated us to walk as sons who love their Father, love their Savior. Not rules and regulations. Trust me, I'm trying to speak to something I see, and it's wrecked people's lives, and it wrecks their kids' lives. If I can even go further, be careful. Being fervent causes you to flow in your gifts, meaning how the Holy Spirit uses you. Joy in life. And it keeps you from dead ritual. There are gatherings today in this town that we could have said, we're going to take five of us, we're going to go in, that are so dead today that you might have had to scream, is anybody in this room alive? Does anybody know Jesus Christ in this room? The music, the order of service, the preaching, who are they serving? Who are they worshiping? Yeah, Paul Washer will clear out the airways, won't he? But he ain't the only one that's done that through the centuries. Is this Lord Jesus Christ to be absolutely loved and adored and worshiped? Can I say be excited about? Yes. There's joy in life. Number three, a fervent spirit for the Lord Jesus Christ keeps you anchored to his church. I've already said this. Fervency in Christ keeps you anchored to his church. I'm not saying we're the only church. God, that would be absolutely, utterly insane for me to say that. But it keeps you anchored to a true church in the earth. You just don't go out rogue on your own. We have people that come visit through the years, right? We're going on for a while here. Over two decades, we've had a lot of people come in and go on. But the key thing they need to hear and need to be constantly taken back to is you need to be in a church and give your heart and your life to it, a true church. Let me clarify here. Not just a place that you're on a roll that you might get something in the mail twice a year. The wrong birthday when they send you a card, that can happen. Or in the case of my mother-in-law and father-in-law, stuff that we still get in the mail to them and they've been dead over 7 years. Is anybody up to date in that church? Yeah, go ahead and laugh. It's all right. It's insane, isn't it? Did you even know who they are? Did you know that they passed? Man, oh man. A fervent spirit for the Lord Jesus keeps you anchored to his church. It keeps you know that you have to be there. That's where he is, meaning you have to be. You long to be. I want to be there. I want to be with those who love him and want to obey him and follow him. I want to hear what he's doing. I want to see how he's shepherding. I want to see where he's taking us. What a journey. What a journey to be kept and guided by the power of God in his church. We know that Christ shepherds his flock, and I want to be in on that. Where is the great shepherd? Oh, he's on the other side of the Grand Canyon on the North Rim. There's this really cool area of trees. That's where he meets. I'm not afraid to look at somebody in the eye. I don't care who they are, what age they are. I say, that is absurd. He meets with his church, his people. Get out of the Grand Canyon and get in the church. You can go to the Grand Canyon for something else if you want to. You hear what I'm saying. A fervent spirit for the Lord Jesus Christ keeps you anchored in his church. It's just good to hear this. It's good to hear this together. Number four, a fervent spirit for the Lord Jesus Christ makes you long for more of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because from beginning to end, I'm not promoting what you can do for yourself. I want to make sure I'm careful. What I'm promoting or speaking about is this thing of the Holy Spirit giving us more of him and more reality, more of this glow, this ember that burns, and that there's a constancy to it, that it keeps going. It's not a flash in the pan. It's not a friend you meet in 3 years, and they've completely walked away from the faith. Were they ever in the faith? God have mercy. You, if you're fervent now, or you have a little bit of a flame, or the flame is growing, you realize I need more of the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. You do. The outward man, right? The outward man is perishing. It's diminishing. Trust me, I felt it today. But the inward man, what should it be doing? It's being renewed. It's being renewed. Every now and then I get to take my 15-year-old grandson to school. Those are fun times. Because he likes to talk and he likes to ask pops some questions about pops at 15 or 16 years old. But what I want him to hear from my heart, not just from my head, from my heart. What I want him to hear is that Jesus Christ is a living, glorious, active Savior. He lives. He's with me. He's with those that put their trust in him. He's doing his perfect will in the earth. And I want to be in on that. And I want him as a young man to think about that and long for that and want and hunger for that. Yes, even this reality of more of the Holy Spirit. Saints, you are weak. I know that. I don't care if you're 20 and you can do a lot of pumping of weights. It doesn't matter. You are weak. Let me remind you guys, whoever in this room doesn't think he's weak, you're weak. But Jesus Christ is strong. Is he ever? And he gives strength, right? He strengthens the weak. We're here by his loving kindness and his grace. And we're kept by his loving kindness and his grace. Yes, like Apollos, you should want more of fervency in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So saints, ask him. Look to him. Surrender to him. Be in the right places. Be in the right pattern of life. God help all of us for his name's sake. Let me pray. Father, again, we thank you that in the flow of these magnificent exhortations that you've said to all of us not to be slothful, not to hold back, but to be fervent in spirit, to serve you. Lord, would you teach us more of that? Every Christian in this room needs more reality in this area. Lord, teach us and make it happen in our lives. For the glory of Jesus, we ask. Amen. Let's stand and sing one more song before we do the Lord's table.